Did your parents ever tell you they were proud of them, proud of you? My father, who was called Jens Erik, always introduced me as his dutiful daughter. And people thought they'd misheard him. But no, he liked wordplay, and I was his dutiful daughter. Was Jesus a dutiful son? That's a silly question, I know. Of course he was. I mean, he left his father's side. He came down to earth to live as a normal human being. He took his sins upon himself, all the sins of the world, and he died an agonizing death. And in order to make this meaningful, in order for people, the world, to know that he was the Messiah, he had to fulfill the prophecies. That was how the Jews, the world, would know that he really was the Son of God. And as I said in my introduction, by now the Romans were well entrenched. They were hated, they were oppressive, they extracted taxes, and the people were groaning and longing for someone to come and save them. And we know they weren't quite expecting what Jesus turned out to be. They wanted somebody to come with an army and overthrow those Romans. But Jesus did come, and he had to fulfill the prophecies in order to show that he was the Son of God. The baptism of Jesus is in all four Gospels, and it is in all four Gospels the start of Jesus' ministry. It had to be done right. It had to be done so that people had no doubt that this was someone special. You ever started a new job? That first day, a bit nerve-wracking, isn't it? You make sure you're wearing your best dress. Sorry, a gentleman's suit. You visualize and prepare and worry about the things you're going to say. You brush up on whatever subject it is that you are expected to know about so that you can say the right thing. Jesus prepared for his ministry. How did he prepare? Well, first of all, he had to be steeped in Scripture. And I'm sure he wasn't born knowing the Scriptures. I'm sure, like the rest of us, he had to learn. And he would have learnt in the synagogue. He would have learnt from the rabbis. And we know that he learnt diligently, that he listened intensely, and that he questioned and reasoned. Do you remember the story in Luke 2, when Jesus was about 12 and he went missing from the caravan that was coming back from Jerusalem, and his distraught parents were searching for him high and low? And then we read, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus is now about 30. He's a grown man. He's done his homework, and he's about to start his ministry. It's his first day in the new job. It's got to be done right. And so he goes down to the River Jordan. John was already fulfilling prophecy. He was the man that came out of the wilderness. And we read in Isaiah 40, chapter 3, verse 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So Jesus goes down to the Jordan, and John recognizes him. He is his cousin, after all. And he knows he's the Messiah. And he says, hang on a minute. You're coming to be baptized by me? That's not right. I should be asking you to baptize me. And Jesus says, no, it's got to be done according to Scripture. We've got to do this right. We've got to do it so that anyone who's watching us, and all those that will hear about it afterwards, and Jerusalem was a small place, so, you know, everybody was going to hear about this. It's got to be seen to be done right, in accordance with Scripture. So John baptizes him in. And then just in case there's any doubt at all, God speaks. This is my son. With him I am well pleased. Did everybody hear God's voice? Some people thought it was thunder. Some people thought they'd imagined it. But Jesus heard the voice, and John heard the voice. Do we hear God's voice? Now, of course, convincing the world that you are the Messiah takes more than one act of fulfilling the prophecy. Just like the first day in the job does not define your career, right? There are many incidents in the Gospels where Jesus fulfills prophecy. Again and again, as we read the Gospels, there are little clips that go back to the Old Testament. Even at his death, Scripture was fulfilled. And we read in John 19, verse 23 and 24, sorry, when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let us not tear it, they said to one another. Let us decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them, and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment comes from the Psalms. So Jesus was a dutiful son. He proved again and again that he was fulfilling the prophecy. And then he did it again when he went to the cross. Are we dutiful children of God? I was Yenseric's dutiful daughter, but am I a dutiful daughter of God? Is God well pleased with us? Well, actually, God doesn't ask us to lead blameless lives because he knows that that is just not possible. He gave us free will. That was his first mistake. But he also gave us Jesus. And Jesus taught us how to draw near to God. Jesus was steeped in Scripture. That was his preparation. Some of you will have read the Bible from cover to cover. Others, like me, will know bits of it quite well, and some of it not at all. I confess I cherry pick. There are bits of the Bible I just don't understand, and there are bits of the Bible I just don't like. So I'll keep going back to the bits that I understand or think I understand, and the bits that give me comfort. But Jesus was steeped in Scripture, and he knew the good bits, and he knew the bad bits. And he still came to earth. Jesus spent time with his Father in prayer. That's the encouragement. Whether we pray in solitude or we pray together, we need to pray. We need to draw near to the Father. We need God to give us strength. We need him to give us inspiration. And we need him to give us guidance. And we do have to listen out for his voice, even if sometimes we don't quite like the answer. And then Jesus spent time with people. He laughed. He cried. He taught and he healed. He ate and he drank. He touched and he kissed. He even upturned the benches in the temple. That is action. When we take action and we do it in the name of Jesus and in accordance with the things that we have been taught by Scripture, then that becomes much more powerful than if we try and do it in our own name. So, let us steep ourselves in the Bible, pray to the Father, take action in accordance with what we are taught by Jesus. And then the Father will say, "With you I am well pleased." Miracles are not required. Jesus already did that for us. Amen.